This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now, moving also on to Asia's other biggest economy this morning, India's government has revoked part of the constitution, that gives Indian-administered Kashmir special status, prompting fears that this might spur unrest in the region.
So this is the Article 370, which is very sensitive because it guarantees a kind of autonomy for the disputed state of Kashmir, as well as being a Muslim majority state as well. The measure was accompanied by a telecoms and media blackout, which began Sunday evening, and also a lockdown in that part of Kashmir.
Yeah, for many Kashmiris, Article 370 was the main justification for being part of India. And by revoking it, the BJP has irrevocably changed Delhi's relationship with the region. And of course, Pakistan has weighed in and condemned India's decision on this.
So for more, we speak this morning to Ankit Panda, senior editor of The Diplomat, which is an online international news magazine covering politics in the Asia-Pacific region. Thank you very much for joining us, Ankit. So put this into context for us. How serious is this move by the Indian government?
It's very serious. It's historic. It's unprecedented. As you said, it changes the very relationship between the state of Jammu and Kashmir, which no longer exists. That was what India called the administrative unit, which was a state with a high level of autonomy that it had enjoyed in India since the late 1940s. Kashmir acceded to India in 1947, causing a war between India and Pakistan, and that dispute remains open to this day. And by taking the action that the Indian government now has, it has completely transformed the nature of Kashmir's internal legal arrangement with the rest of India.
And India also wants to pass a bill splitting the Indian-administered Kashmir into two territories and govern that territory directly in Delhi. In your view, what is this signaling? Why is India rocking the boat?
Yeah, so that was kind of the whole point of this maneuver. So Kashmir is a Muslim-majority area, the only Muslim-majority state in India. It enjoyed a great deal of autonomy. It was able to self-govern, mostly elect its own leaders to the legislature. The action that the government has now taken divides Kashmir, Jammu and Kashmir, into two constituent so-called union territories, which are administered by the central federal government in New Delhi. So one of these new union territories will be called Jammu and Kashmir, and it will have a legislature, but it will still essentially lose all of the autonomy that it used to enjoy. And then a second area, known as Ladakh, which is adjacent to northeastern Kashmir, where China actually has a territorial claim as well, that part will become a union territory without any kind of legislature. So they'll have no representation, and they'll be ruled directly by New Delhi. So what the Kashmiris are giving up now is political autonomy in exchange for being ruled centrally from New Delhi.
Meanwhile, Pakistan has condemned India's decision as illegal, and it said that it would exercise all possible options to counter it, with the foreign minister weighing in, saying that India is playing a dangerous game. So what is Pakistan's options here?
So the Pakistani reaction has been to point at international law, at United Nations Security Council resolutions, including Security Council Resolution 48, which considered the status of Kashmir in the late 1940s. But Pakistan doesn't really have many good options. They can condemn India. They can look for support, statements of support from countries that they have close relationships with. These might be some countries in the Middle East, for instance, possibly some other Muslim countries that would support Pakistan's position here. But of course, I think India has also taken a strong position by saying that this is its internal affair, and that if countries comment on it, they would be doing so and risking the nature of their bilateral relationship with India. So right now, we haven't actually seen too much international reaction. The one thing that I think a lot of observers, myself included, are anxious to see is if the Pakistani military takes any action into its own hands. Pakistan's government has long been divided between the civilian leadership and the military, which effectively runs the country's foreign and security policy. And Kashmir is effectively one of the core interests of the Pakistani military. So given this action, we may see Pakistan step up its attempts to raise tensions along the line of control, the de facto border between Indian-administered and Pakistani-administered Kashmir, or potentially even Pakistan increasing the use of non-state groups to begin attacking Indian paramilitary personnel in Kashmir. Of course, earlier this year, we had a major attack there in February, and that led to a huge crisis, bringing two countries to the brink of war. So if the Pakistani military decides that it's going to react in that way, it certainly has options, but then things start to get very dangerous.
And Ankit, so we've seen Hindu nationalism really come to the fore recently in Indian politics. And what kind of an effect would this potential escalation as well with Pakistan have on the position of the Muslim community within India?
That's a major issue. Like I said, Kashmir is a Muslim-majority area, and really what this comes down to, the reason that the Indian government did this, has to do with ideology. It has to do with the Indian government having a particular vision for India that really goes back decades. India was for the longest time ruled by the Congress Party, which had a very kind of secular, socialist view of the country, the economy, of the roles of the minorities in the country. And the current government, the Hindu Nationalist Bharatiya Janata Party, and its ideological predecessors have long thought that the status of Kashmir within India was simply unacceptable. And what happened was that in May, we just saw the BJP win a second term in office with a huge mandate, a larger mandate than they had won in 2014. And I really think that this decision on Kashmir is the BJP effectively extending the political capital that the mandate had given them to take this kind of a historic step. So I think that's really what this gets to. It's sort of a struggle now about the nature of India itself and the relationship of Kashmir to the rest of the country. It was one of those unresolved questions that previous governments had thought to leave untouched from the status quo from the late 1940s. But now the BJP has gone ahead and changed that, and I think there's a lot of uncertainty ahead now, especially in terms of how this is all going to be implemented. The legal questions that arise remain very much unsolved. So there may be protracted battles within Parliament, possibly the Supreme Court going forward.
Thank you so much, Ankit. And that was Ankit Panda, Senior Editor at The Diplomat. And it very much seems as if this is going to be a flashpoint in the coming days and weeks, because we're still seeing this story develop. It's only just been released that over the weekend, the Indian government actually saw a blackout in the state of Kashmir, and some of its state leaders as well were placed under house arrest. So it's a bit uncertain as to where this is going to develop. But as Ankit says, the biggest worry here is that Pakistan's military will actually take action, because Pakistan's military is largely autonomous. They operate alongside the civil government.
Yeah, in the meantime, tens of thousands of extra troops and military police have already been dispatched to what is already a very militarized zone. So you wonder whether you're sparking a tinderbox, right? Because tensions there have never been easy between these two countries also.
Yeah, that's right. Pakistani PM Imran Khan has also spoken with the leaders of Turkey and Malaysia. Of course, those are two Muslim-majority countries, and the respective leaders have also provided moral support to Pakistan. But I think all these geopolitical tensions is not likely to be advantages for the economic situation. This is on top of the trade wars that are happening, not to mention the agitations around South China Sea, as well as right now there is a trade tension between Japan and Korea as well. This really adds to the negativity that we're seeing in the economic landscape today.
But I think for Modi, this is very much his stamp of power, isn't it? Because he just came from an overwhelming majority in the last Indian elections. Maybe he has this sense that he has the political will to carry this out in what is already quite a Hindu nationalistic kind of environment in India at this current juncture.
That's right. And he's also doing it under the guise of having more integration within Indian society, right? And changing, going to the extent of changing the constitution for that. But this is really a time bomb.
But this has always been the BJP's reasoning for trying to forcibly integrate India's minority Muslim community into the rest of the society. And it's most notable under Modi because when the BJP came to power, they followed right on the heels of a secular government under the previous Congress, the National Congress Party. And so it very much seems seems as if he is attempting to consolidate power, as you mentioned, Shaning, and maybe detract from India's economic woes at the same time, because not forgetting that India is home to a third of the world's hardcore poor, and that situation is not looking to resolve itself anytime soon. They're still dealing with huge numbers of unemployment. As we've seen, even here in Malaysia, race and religion politics is very effective in retaining support from the majority of the people.
Yeah, when all else fails, distract, right? Distract exactly. With some skirmish in the borders, which affect all your people unnecessarily.
Yeah, but that's very interesting, though, because if you dissect the move to consolidate power, right, the population of India has basically given Narendra Modi a blank check, because this is a landslide and he's reduced the Congress party to almost nothing. I compare that to Xi Jinping's consolidation of power in China, and that by comparison looks like a witch hunt, because the Communist Party has been in power for since the beginning of their history, and has never ceded power to anybody else. Whereas Narendra Modi actually basically stole this election, right?
And right out from under the feet of Rahul Gandhi,
Congress. But I'm just wondering, as far as Modi's strategy is concerned, whether he will give something in return, whether he would pour money into Kashmir and in exchange for the this so-called idea of integration with the rest of India.
And that does indeed remain to be seen, because this is a developing story, and we'll bring you updates as soon as we get them ourselves. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.